We're back.
Dig.
It's Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast. Yeah, we were gone for a couple of days. We weren't on vacation or anything. We just were having some issues with the equipment. And it sounds like we've got those issues resolved. So we're back. Now, we're going to try and get some of the audio from the last couple of days and present that for you here in the next couple of days. I'm going to try, although it's a pretty massive task because it's like 9 hours of audio I got to go through.
It could be mined, maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see if we can find some nuggets.
Yeah. We'll do our very best. We appreciate your patience. We appreciate your support. This is the Top 5 Things podcast. Now, what you're about to hear are the top 5 things we got done on today's morning show on our morning show on Planet 93.9.
And the podcast is brought to you by Nature's Treatment of Illinois, Tech Drive in Milan and West Main Street in Galesburg. Milan is open every day. God bless them. Galesburg is open weekdays.
God's got to love them.
God's got to love them. Galesburg is open on weekdays and also on Saturday. The Milan store offers both medicinal and recreational. Galesburg is recreational only. Sign up for the newsletter and connect with Nature's Treatment on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Here we go. Number one.
Number one.
Number one.
Kids on their way to college trying to figure out how to make that happen.
Yeah.
The price of college tuition is through the roof.
And you're not getting a break if you... A lot of the universities are not intending on giving you a break if you're not going to be on campus.
No, right. The price of the degree is the price of the degree.
Uh-huh.
Whether you're doing it in your living room or...
In the quad.
Right. They're saying the experience isn't what you're paying for. It's the education you're paying for. And they'll make the claim that you're getting the same education, whether it's, you know, on your iPad or in a classroom. High school graduates... Trying to figure out how to make college work. Of course, it's maybe you're about to start your senior year and you're trying to figure out, okay, the year after that, now's the time to kind of get things together in terms of looking at different scholarship opportunities,
sure,
right?
Sure.
Everyone's kind of been through that. Different essays you can write, different things. People will say like, oh, you know, there's a thing at the credit union you can do, or there's this, you know, you're going to go to school to study something. There might be a local opportunity for a scholarship there.
Mm-hmm.
You got to kind of ask the questions. And if you're a high school student, your guidance counselor is a great resource for this sort of thing. You may consider this new scholarship being offered by the Satanic Temple. That's right. The Satanic Temple wants to help high school kids with something they're calling the Devil's Advocate Scholarship.
Uh-huh.
The Satanic Temple fights for a separation between religion and public affairs. They're going to go through all the submissions from the class of 2020 and award two winners $500 each in scholarship money.
Nice.
Yeah, you like these books? Satan paid for them. There are two different essays, I guess, different opportunities. You can submit a creative response to the Satanic Temple in the form of an essay, a poem, a work of art, or film answering one of two questions. One asks, what have you done to promote the Satanic Temple's mission? What are you doing? How are you the devil's advocate?
Well, I'll be honest with you, not as much as I'd like.
I haven't really done enough for Satan, now that I think about it, if I'm being honest.
I'm not going to lie, I've been a little lax. Doesn't mean I couldn't get on board.
You know, our Dark Lord and Master really should be expecting more from me. My lack of doing anything for him might be exactly what he wants.
I just didn't really know how to get started.
Pull myself up by my evil bootstraps.
If I could get pointed in the right direction.
The other choice for an essay asks for a description of a teacher who, quote, crushed your spirit, undermined your self-confidence, and made you hate every minute you were forced to be in school.
Well, that's easy enough.
Do you have an example of that?
No, not really. No.
Write an essay about the teacher that crushed your spirit. I would struggle with that, too. I mean, both of these, I don't think I could do this. I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't take the $500. Scholarship period opened on Monday. And as of yesterday, they say they've gotten more than 50 applications for these $500 scholarships.
Now, when you were in school, did you ever take any sort of tests that then eventually you sat down with the guidance counselor and they kind of went over it and it gave you some idea of what you might want to do?
I don't remember that because I always knew I wanted to do this.
Uh-huh.
I was always pretty adamant I was going to do this. So I don't know that I needed to take those tests. Well, those tests are more for people that are trying to figure things out, right?
Well, I think everyone had. I remember taking them. I think we all had to take them.
And then they
and
say,
then, and then you would sit down and have a conversation with the guidance counselor as to what you might have. You know, what might be a good idea for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember that.
My guidance counselor was a wonderful man named Brother Dominic, and Brother Dominic would basically just call you in his office every once in a while, ask how things were going.
Mm-hmm.
And with me, his big thing with me was he felt I didn't cry enough.
Hmm. Not enough repenting?
No, just like I had a parakeet that died.
Oh.
And my mother was very concerned that I wasn't showing enough
any emotion about,
dead parakeet. Now, understand this about me as an adult. I cry a lot, but I tend to cry only when I'm happy.
Hmm.
Crying for me is something that I do when I'm happy.
Hmm.
I don't cry when I'm sad. And I was bummed that my parakeet died, named Barry after the drummer of REM. Barry the parakeet just was in the bottom of the cage one day, and I was like, I gotta go to school. I don't got time for this. I'll deal with it when I get home.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom thought that was a pretty messed up thing
to say. Did you
at
least throw like a tissue over him?
I don't remember. I think I just left him there to deal with
it. Not even
later.
A Kleenex?
Well, Darren, it's a dead bird.
I understand that, but you show a little respect and cover him with at least a...
I don't remember if I did or I didn't tissue. Do that. I'm going to suspect that I didn't cover the bird because it doesn't occur to me now that's something I should do. It probably didn't occur to me when I was 15 or 16 years old. Brother Dominic had me in the office. I get called over the loudspeaker to go to the guidance
counselor's
office.
Your bird is dead?
Yeah. No, I knew the bird was dead. I get called over the loudspeaker. I'm in Spanish class or whatever. I go to Brother Dominic's office, and just the warmest, nicest guy ever. And he was a Marist brother. This was a man who had dedicated his life to teaching and taken vows to you know, they're like priests, but instead of being priests, they're teachers. They take vows of, like, you know, chastity and poverty and all that stuff. So he sits me down, and I'm like, why am I being called to the guidance counselor?
What did I do?
What exactly? First, your first thought is when the name gets said over the loudspeaker, it's like, Dave LaVara, go to the guidance office. I'm thinking.
And everyone goes, ooh.
Right, right. And I'm thinking, okay, what have I done that I would be called to the guidance office?
So you need to start backtracking.
I'm starting to think, like,
okay, what could it possibly be?
What's my story going to be? Right. So I get there, he sits me down, and he's like, I got a call from your mother today. She's very concerned. Your parakeet died, and
you don't care.
She says she doesn't think you're processing it properly. And I'm like, yeah, it's a bird. And I had it for, like, you know, a year or whatever. It was a parakeet. I'm fine with it. And it was like that scene in Good Will Hunting where Robin Williams is like, it's not your fault. It was like he was trying to trigger me to cry. And he's like,
are you trying to get me to admit that I killed the bird?
I didn't kill the bird. The bird just died.
Did you kill the bird?
Parakeets die. It happens. I haven't had one since because I don't know if I could say goodbye to another bird like that. But he just, I remember this. It was an hour of him just telling me how important it was. You know, as a man, you're going to need to learn how to cry because this is an important skill. So we talked more about crying than what I was going to do with the rest of my life.
When I sat down with, after we had taken all these tests, and I sat down with the guidance counselor, I remember what they thought I should be.
I'm going to guess.
A guidance counselor.
Really?
No.
That would be shocking.
Or how about the person?
We'd like you to come to work for us, Darren.
So you have any idea what you might like to do? I want your job.
What did they tell you you would be good at?
I think it might have had something to do with laying bricks.
Yeah. The world needs ditch diggers too, Darren.
It might have been ditch digger.
Having looked at these results. Uh-huh.
Oh boy.
You and mine.
Not a lot of options here, buddy.
Taking a look here. There's a...
I think this is... You probably be best working with your hands. Let me see your hands. Oh, no, that's not going to work.
We've put your test in the computer, Darren, and, it came up fishmonger!
Why is Ted Knight your guidance counselor in this scenario? No,
it works. It's fine.
How about a Shasta? Let's talk about your future.
Or lack thereof.
It says here you'd be a good mannequin at the store.
Chalking dead bodies might be something for you.
This satanic scholarship, if your kid wants to do it, they say it's promoting their values by honoring those who engage in pro-social rugged individualism. This scholarship will allow students a rare opportunity to be critical of an institution that only rewards sycophantic adulation. Well, that's okay. Something to think about.
You can do that.
Yeah, you got until August 31st, and they'll announce the winners on September 15th. So, if you want to get $500.
What if you're looking to just get your satanic GED?
Is that a thing? I don't know that they're offering anything for that at this time, Darren, but it's not a bad idea.
Looking into some satanic trade schools.
Would you like to make more money and glorify the devil? Sure, we all would. I'm Sally Struthers.
You like to work with your hands?
Air conditioning repair. Satan air conditioning repair.
Hot as hell.
The irony of doing air conditioning repair for a being who forbids being cool. It's not lost on Sally Struthers.
When your house is hot as hell, you need satanic air conditioning.
Call Lil Devil's HVAC.
Two.
I got some breaking news, Darren.
Give it to me.
This just handed to me. Not really. Nobody hands us stuff. But that's just what you're supposed to say when you have breaking news. It's important for you to know that this was just handed to me. I haven't been sitting on this. Demi Lovato is getting married.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. She just got out of a relationship with a male model a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
And then in March, she started having flirty exchanges with some new fella on social media. And
that's all it took,
today,
huh?
Today she's announcing her engagement to actor Max Eric. Made the announcement late last night on Instagram, sharing pictures of the couple embracing on the beach with a huge rock on her finger. He's 29. She's 27. Proposed while they were at the beach yesterday. They fell in love while social distancing together after exchanging flirty social media messages in March. She says, I knew I loved you the moment I met you. It was something I can't describe to anyone who hasn't experienced it firsthand. But luckily you did too. Socially distancing together. So this is like... They're quarantine buddies.
Uh-huh.
And now they've decided if we've made it through quarantine.
But they both have cameras.
I guess.
So, you do the math.
I don't know how that works out, but yeah, they'll, we wish them every happiness. There's too many marriages falling apart.
Mm.
Demi Lovato deserves happiness. Mm. I said it and I meant it.
Where is she registered?
I don't know. I mean, this just happened. What are you thinking about getting him?
I'm not going to get her anything sharp. So, knives are out. Let's see.
Philippine health officials had to scramble after the president of the Philippines, Rodrigo Duterte.
Well done.
Wrongly, I've been practicing that one. He gave some advice to the good people of the Philippines.
Yes.
That, again, the health officials had to scramble and go, do not do what the president just said.
Oh.
He was suggesting during an event yesterday, you know, they're trying to fight COVID-19 just like the rest of planet Earth is.
Mm-hmm.
Uh, He was saying at the end of the day, you need to hang your mask somewhere and spray your mask with Lysol if you can afford it. And then he said, for people who don't have Lysol, trench your mask in gasoline or diesel.
No.
And that son of a bitch, COVID won't stand a chance.
Uh-huh.
Just find some gasoline and dip your hand with the mask in it. That was the advice that the president of the Philippines gave to...
Getting a little lightheaded here. Kind of nauseous.
Well, you know, he's something of a strong man. So if you're in the health department, you're like, do we correct him or not? Because the Department of Health suggesting that President Duterte was joking and that residents should not take the advice seriously.
Joking.
The
a lot of that going around.
Department of Health Undersecretary Maria Rosario Vergara saying, quote, you know how the president speaks. It's probably one of his jokes, especially about the gasoline. Cloth masks should be washed every day after every use. It should be washed and dried under the sun. That's what the health experts are saying. But yeah, he's saying spray Lysol, and if you can't afford Lysol, just drench your mask in gasoline or diesel.
Boom.
if you're not walking around with money for Lysol, just take the mask that you put on your face each day and dip it in gasoline.
I've got a very dry sense of humor. A lot of people don't get me.
I don't know that this is an award you want, but the U.S. Marshals are recognizing their fugitive of the week.
My, you said I couldn't do it.
You said, everyone in this town said I'd never amount to nothing.
Take a look at this.
U.S. Marshals say they found the fugitive of the week sleeping on a porch in New Hampshire yesterday. John Cathcart, a 55-year-old who was wanted on multiple arrest warrants.
Nichols!
Warrants included failing to appear on a charge of being a felon in possession of a firearm, also failing to appear on 3 outstanding narcotics charges.
Well, listen, guys, I told you I might flake. I might not just show up.
He was, I guess, on the local news there in New Hampshire, and the law enforcement saw this guy that they were looking for on the news, and they went looking around and found him sleeping on a porch.
What was he doing on the news?
That I don't know. Commenting on one of the local stories? I don't know.
What grinds, was the man- what grinds my gears? Or
well, it's...
If they're looking for you,
uh-huh,
you typically stay off camera.
That would be my approach. I mean, I'm on TV every once in a while, but to the best of my knowledge, I have no outstanding warrants for my arrest.
Sir, exactly what did you see?
I'd rather not comment, as I'm wanted by the U.S. Marshals Service.
He didn't think that way.
No, he was like, I'll be happy to give you whatever give you need.
I'll give you the lowdown.
Oh, yeah, I'll give you my take on things.
The dirty lowdown, if you need it.
They found him on a porch in Laconia, New Hampshire. Arrested without incident.
Probably so, not his porch.
Well, that's the other...
I'm guessing.
That's the other question here. Whose porch was this? Why is this guy...
On the porch.
He's up there huffing wasp spray, or why is he sleeping
there?
Whose
porch?
Asleep on the porch. The mugshot of this guy is something else. He looks like, you know the Will Ferrell character in the cowbell sketch? Where I need more cowbell?
Yeah.
Dude looks exactly like that.
Well, that's what I've dedicated myself to.
Now I'm dying what it was that he felt the need to comment on the news where they were able to find him. Look at this dude. He's just...
Yeah, I went to school with that guy.
Yeah, I think I know why he was sleeping.
Looks a little out of it.
My guess is he's...
Good head of hair, though.
For 55? Yeah. He's rocking it. He looks exactly like the Will Ferrell character Terry, I believe, is his name, in the cowbell sketch. Just sleeping on the porch. You know, it's good sleeping weather lately. I can't blame the guy.
Well, in New Hampshire?
Yeah, I bet it's just crisp and
delightful.
You can't help yourself.
I could really... A cup of cider would be nice.
Number four.
Four.
There's a retirement home in the news in Austin, Texas. A senior living community. They were trying to figure out activities for these seniors to do.
Uh-huh.
Which can't be easy to do. Coming up with new things to keep retired people occupied, right?
Right.
Someone had the idea, how about we have them brew beer?
Yeah, sure.
They have built little breweries there at the retirement home.
Or gin or vodka.
Well, they've made so far a cider, an IPA, an oatmeal stout, and a wit beer. And they're making these bottles of beer, which is a lot of work. Right?
Yeah.
And you got to be super patient. A lot of it's just keeping things super clean, which is all stuff that you do at a retirement community anyway, right? Retirement home, they're calling it Palmer Woods Beer Works. Palmer Woods is the retirement home. There, the enrichment director came up with this idea to have the seniors start brewing beer, and it's been a big hit. In fact, they're brewing the beer, and then... they're giving the beer away as prizes at bingo night. So you spend your days making beer, then you spend your nights playing bingo, hoping to win some of the beer that you made. And that sounds like heaven on earth. Beer and bingo are two of my all-time favorites.
Are you guys also interested in making license plates?
How long before that?
Hey, guys. And then next... I'm going to blow up this balloon, and let's see how long we can keep it from touching the ground. Everyone get their pool noodles out. No. I mean, literally. No. Put that away.
They say that there are 12 to 15 residents that have shown some interest in this brewing process, and 6 of them are all in, completely committed.
And now all the bingo games are fixed. Same guys winning the beer.
This is what the enrichment director at the home says. They feel like they're really getting to be part of something bigger, and it's really reminiscent of Austin itself. There's a microbrew every 2 blocks. It's a way to stay part of the community while also putting your own little flair on it, which is always fun. It's more than just something to do to, you know, spend time. It gives them a creative outlet. It gives them a long-term goal, and it's something to sort of brag about that I've made. We don't often make things anymore. That's not really what we do as a society. And to harken back to their younger ages when they made beer and they made preserves and they made jams, this is real similar to something they're familiar with, and it's very comforting. If you're telling me that that's something I can do when I get to that age, mm-hmm. I'm all for it. That sounds like a lot of fun. It'll probably be the only time I ever actually do it, because I tried making beer before and it was a disaster.
Yeah, I don't know about making beer, but I could probably put a screwdriver together for you real quick.
It's not quite the same thing.
Well, isn't it?
On Brewed, we've had occasion to interview quite a few home brewers. There's some home brewers in the Quad Cities that are making, I mean, really good beer.
Pretty elaborate, huh?
But my issue and the thing that keeps me from ever doing it is the home brewers, again, I mean, incredibly talented people. But I can't imagine... drinking a beer made by a actual brewery and thinking, I could improve upon this. But that's what these people have.
Yeah.
Like, they have the ability to drink something and say, there's something that would improve this, and I think I know how to do it. And then it's a puzzle that they put together. And it's a ton of work. And very often, they finish with this product that takes... hours and hours and hours of effort and waiting and patient, and they finish with it and they go, didn't quite turn out the way I wanted. Like, that is a hobby to me. I just don't know that I could do it.
Sounds maddening.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know about doing that at the retirement home, but...
what would you like to do?
I've got this glass of orange juice right here. I'm going to add something to it. and it will no longer be just orange juice.
Darren, spiking orange juice is not an enrichment activity for seniors.
Well, it's too early to tell.
It's really not, though. That's
you guys.
How long is it going to take Grandma to make a screwdriver?
Well, maybe not all day, but it's... Who says you're making one?
I would love to see this get used here. If there's any, you know, are you not supposed to call them retirement homes? It's a senior living community. That's what you're supposed to call them. You're not supposed to call them homes anymore, I don't think. It's a community. It's what is Joan London? What's her gimmick? It's a website called Place for Mom.
Screw like, Dad.
And every time I see the commercial.
Dad's on his own.
When I see the commercial for Joan London for A Place for Mom, in my head, I'm hearing Joan London say, we'll deal with her. How about that? We'll take her. We'll take Mom off your hands. Which is probably pretty brutal.
Oh, I don't think it's just, it's not Joan London keeping an eye on everyone.
Oh, she's not the director of the retirement communities?
We got a place for her.
I had a feeling that Joan London would swing by and, you know, make sure everything was copacetic.
And crack the whip.
On the residents or the people working there? Joan London's not afraid to break a couple eggs to get some omelets made.
Gray area.
Number five.
Fascinating paradox, I think you'll find, that people who have no confidence in themselves tend to be people that are kind of deeper thinkers. And folks who are just rock stupid have all the confidence in the world. I mean, is that safe to say? Has that been your experience?
It happens.
I know there's a term for this, that the dumber people tend to be very sure of themselves, and they have a confidence that the rest of us, you can look at it and almost admire it. Like, to have this kind of confidence, this story comes to us from India. Two guys on a bike. They rob a guy. They take his cell phone and they take his wallet.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So they're on bikes. This guy's walking around. Again, this is in India. They rob him of his cell phone and they take his wallet. This happened last night, I guess. They were finally captured following a gunfight with the cops. So you got a couple of bicycle bandits here.
But they're like, pickpockets on bikes?
Well, they must have gone up to this guy on the bike and said, give us your wallet and your cell phone.
They're not just riding by. You take the watch, I'll take the wallet.
That's not bad.
You guys are good at what you do, I'll say that.
They robbed this guy of his mobile phone and his wallet. He was out for dinner. I guess they robbed him on their bicycles at gunpoint. In his wallet, he had his driver's license, a couple of bucks, and an ATM card. So these guys say, you know, basically your money or your life.
Mm-hmm.
This guy gives them the cell phone, gives them the wallet. They get on their bikes, and they ride off, right? They go some distance, and they realize, well, we've got this guy's ATM, but we don't know the PIN code.
Right.
So they go back to the guy to ask what his PIN code is for the ATM.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine having that sort of confidence in myself.
You would have to think that pickpockets are down.
Because there's just not as many of us out there?
Well, no. You would think that it was probably going on even before the pandemic.
Yeah.
In that people don't carry cash.
Well, they've moved on to identity theft. They moved on to putting those skimmers in the, you know, the ATMs and the gas machines. They've evolved. The art of being a pickpocket.
But that's what I'm saying. Is different. Yeah, but how many people there then are really pickpocketing? The actual act of a pickpocket.
It's a lost art, probably.
You would think. It's like, what's the point?
Yeah.
I understand stealing your identity, doing other things, mm-hmm. being more tech savvy and that mm-hmm. sort of thing, but the actual act of taking someone's wallet.
Right.
It's got to be down.
Well, they say, like, when you travel in certain countries, like, that they're able to distract you in a way and take your watch off of your wrist so you don't even realize it happened. That's phenomenal, really. I mean, I have to say I admire that ability. To take a wallet out of a pocket is, I think, really hard to do.
But that's another thing that's got to be down, too. because people don't wear watches.
Yes, I mean,
so if you're someone who was a master pickpocket mm-hmm. and capable of taking people's watches,
you just sit and talk about the golden era.
It's like, huh? It's the world's passed me by.
It's nothing to do,
Sammy. Sammy, we used to be good at what we did.
They go back to ask this victim, hey, we need the PIN code for your ATM. And this dummy gives it to him. So then they're off again. But at that point, the cops got involved. The bike got stopped at a security check area. And then these guys decided to open fire on the police and then sped away. Chased by the policeman, got injured, the both of them, in retaliatory firing. They were caught and taken to a nearby hospital for treatment. Both these dudes are 25 years old. They were able to recoup the wallet with the money and the ATM card.
I can give you the PIN code, but I've already canceled that card.
This is a part of the story, too, that I think is... I guess I wasn't aware that this was a thing. The pistols that these guys were using to shoot at the cops were homemade pistols. Can you imagine?
From a kit.
I don't know. Is that a thing?
Uh-huh. The Tandy Corporation.
I wasn't aware that was a thing.
Oh, yeah, we got it for the holidays.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to make our own guns. We're going to hold people up at gunpoint. And if they give us an ATM, we're going to go back and demand we get the ATM number.
Fair number of people in India, right?
Yeah, it's the...
Fair number. How easy is it...
It's the second most populated country in the world, right?
How easy is it to just start riding around on a bike and finding somebody again?
Yeah. Well, it's a fair question.
I mean, if I randomly find you out in the street somewhere,
yeah,
and then I need to come find you again, how easy is that going to be to find you?
Can't be easy. There's 1.3 billion people in India.
And we're on bikes.
There's a lot to this story where I think, that's nuts.
I mean, just think about that. Yeah. I find you in downtown Davenport.
Yeah.
I'm on a bike.
Right.
There's Dave Lavora.
Mm-hmm.
And I shake you down.
Mm-hmm.
And then I find out, I need something.
Go get that guy again.
I'm just going to ride down to downtown Davenport, and there you are again?
Hey, there's that guy.
What?
That does seem like a lot of work.
And it's not Davenport's population I'm dealing with. It's New Delhi.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you make that happen? And I'm on a bike.
I'm looking here at the town in India to see. This did not happen in New Delhi. This happened in a place called Noida. No idea. No, N-O-I-D-A. How would you pronounce that? Noida. I got no idea. Population of this town, 643,000.
Okay.
So twice the size of the Quad Cities. Relatively small, I imagine, when you're talking about a town of... it's a suburb of New Delhi. Okay, yeah, no, this seems like it's impossible what they did.
Yeah, I'm on a bike.
Uh huh.
I come shake you down in downtown Davenport.
Yeah, here's my wallet.
And I ride my bike out back out here to Westlake. And then I find out. Wait a minute! I need your code.
Let's go back and get that code from that dude.
I get back on my bike.
Uh huh.
I go back down to downtown Davenport.
You two again.
And I'm able to just pick you out of the crowd?
That's what they did. They do have some talent.
That's very fanciful.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
Wow, there it is.
We did it.
We were gone, and now we're back, and now it's over. Hope you enjoyed the podcast.
And we're back.
No, we're done, though.
And we're done.
That's it for this episode of The Top 5 Things. Thanks so much for listening, downloading, subscribing, leaving a review on iTunes if you get a moment. Always appreciate everything you guys do for sincerely. Thanks for letting us do this. Who else made it possible, Darren?
Nature's Treatment of Illinois. Their experienced wellness consultants are going to sit down with you and discuss what options work best to make you feel more comfortable. Frequently asked questions are answered if you go to the website, which is easy enough. It's ntillinois.com.
Till we get a chance to do it for you again, hang loose, kooks.
You stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock out, come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Bye, have a great time.